I love GIFs. I'm obsessed with memes and GIFs. I spend so much time. I would say I spend hours before every week finding the perfect meme, perfect GIF, like perfect photos. I'm obsessed. A huge part of touristy is not just the jokes in the written, but also the graphics. I want to make it visually appealing.
Welcome to the Send and Grow podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Redekop. In my day job at Sparkloop, I spent all my time analyzing how the best newsletter operators and media brands in the world grow and monetize their audiences. I get a behind-the-scenes look at how they're growing their newsletters and driving revenue, and there is so much to learn from their success and from their mistakes. With this podcast, you get that access too. Every week, I sit down with a different guest, from industry experts to successful operators, and we go deep on the stuff that you need to know so you can become really effective at growing and monetizing your newsletter. Today on the Send and Grow podcast, I want to introduce you to Noor Chopra of Touristy, a newsletter distilling the biggest news stories, but served with a side of millennial sarcasm. Noor started Touristy during the pandemic as a pivot from her travel blog of the same name. Today, her newsletter reaches over 111,000 subscribers, and she hasn't spent a dime on paid growth. Instead, Noor's leveraged her college network, unscalable growth tactics, and the power of consistency to grow. In this episode, we dive into these strategies that propelled Touristy's growth, the challenges of monetizing a free newsletter, and the future plans that Noor has for her burgeoning media empire. Noor, it's fantastic to have you with us. Could you kick things off by telling us a bit more about the inception of Touristy and what makes it unique?
Hey everyone, I'm Noor. I'm the founder of Touristy, a short-form newsletter on business and tech. Touristy uses a witty tone and super skimmable format, which appeals to Gen Z, millennials, lots of jokes, lots of memes. But also, I feel like it would appeal to anybody who wants to be educated and entertained in a quick way. So while I would say the broader audience would be 18 to 35, you know, it's for anyone who wants to stay up to date with news. And so, yeah, I've been doing it for 4 years now.
That's awesome. And what kind of news do you share?
Business, big tech, finance, a little bit of everything. So I don't have a niche. I'm not specifically focused on crypto or AI or tech. So I don't have a niche. I would say just a mix of the latest in the business world. That's what I'd say.
Okay. Amazing. Okay. So we'll get into your content a little bit more later on, but I wanted you to take us back to like March 2020, when kind of the world was kind of shutting down and a pandemic was kind of hitting us all. So you decided to, at least according to my research, you decided to start Touristy, the newsletter. So can you take us back to that and what kind of spurred on that decision to start that?
Okay. So to be very honest, it's not like I had some plan to launch business newsletter during COVID. Like that was not the plan. I was already used to writing. Mm-hmm. I actually used to run a travel blog called Touristy, but that never really took off.
Right.
So I had been used to years of writing, doing something that didn't really work out. And then, you know, COVID hit, travel shut down. And I just pivoted to another area that I was really interested in, which was business news. And more than anything, I wanted to find something that was really authentic to me that people enjoyed reading. And I feel like I kind of found my tonality with it. And once I saw early signs of traction, I kind of doubled down on it. You know, also during COVID, it's important to note traditional news had become so negative that year that what really just prompted me was to make, like, just give the same news, but make it light, fun, informal tone of voice, you know, no political bias, or just the way me and my friends talk. So there was no master plan to start the newsletter. It just happened.
That's awesome. And when you read your newsletter, you can really get that, you know, it's more of a casual sort of informal tone about the general news, which is kind of a refreshing take on it when, you know, so much of news is very, you know, cut and dry and lacking personality, so to speak. So I definitely appreciate that about Touristy. We should actually not bury the lead. You have been running Touristy, like you said, for about 4 years, but you have also grown in the 4 years to over 100,000 subscribers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And we have almost 111,000 subscribers today.
Congratulations. That is no small feat. That's very impressive. That leads me that, you know, I have to ask you.
A lot of work. It's been a lot of work.
It leads me to ask you, like, what have you done, especially maybe in the early days, like the first year or two, what were you doing to grow the newsletter?
Okay, to be 100% honest, in 2020, I did anything to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
Like really, I just followed Paul Graham mentality of doing the unscalable. I did things that don't scale for months. I was knocking on doors, but behind a screen for months. You know, I just wanted to get moving. Like I just wanted the ball rolling. At this point, I had a travel blog that didn't kind of take off. I was stuck to a room behind a laptop. And, you know, so I did anything and everything to make it work. And if that meant reaching out to hundreds of people, that's what I did. In fact, I think about it now and I'm like, shit, no, did I really do that? Because I don't know if I could do it today. I mean, I messaged so many people. I guess it was like a do or die approach. I was just going at it. I just wanted to get the ball rolling. And obviously with time, I would say something that's really important is that I had finished my master's in London the year before. Mm. So I leveraged that college network. That definitely gave me an opening. Mm-hmm. And I went to NYU, which, you know, I was a part of a lot of WhatsApp and like Facebook communities. I had been in touch with a lot of my friends. So while I could not grow touristy while I was at college because I did it post-graduation, I did take advantage of my network to get the word. So I would say number one would be doing things that don't scale. And the second would be leveraging my social network 100%.
Where were you messaging people? Was it on LinkedIn or email or?
LinkedIn, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, any channel online where, okay, so a lot of alumni from my university. So that kind of gave me an opening, obviously, right? And then I asked a lot of my close friends that, and, you know, I wasn't transactional about it also. Like, it's not like I messaged somebody, hey, subscribe to my newsletter. It was, I would show a glimpse into my content. I'd be nice about it, that if they liked it, then maybe they'd want to sign up. And you would be surprised how kindness can actually work like a charm for new readers. Like, I was actually surprised because so, I feel like everybody was on their phone that time. And I don't know if the creator economy took off in 2020, but I don't know, feels like it. At least for me, I doubled down on it. But no, I just be like, for example, like, hey, Dylan, I just started this newsletter. This is the kind of stuff I'm writing about.
Right.
Do you want to check it out?
And people were pretty warm to that.
Yeah.
To your invite.
I mean, not everyone,
You either get
not everyone.
People either just ghost you or maybe say, stop messaging me kind of thing.
People ghost you. And what's so funny is that I remember the first few times when somebody was like mean or ghosted me, I used to take it so personally. And by the end of it, like, I feel like doing this, it's really uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. Yeah. I won't say it's comfortable. And I think about it now and I'm like, did I really, I keep thinking, I'm like, did I really do that? I mean, I guess I did, right? So
how much of your subscriber base would you say you're able to get going with that strategy?
Couple thousand.
So
I remember that by the end of 2020, I had around like 8 to 10 thousand for sure.
8 to 10 thousand?
By the end of 2020, yes.
Okay. So that's a pretty good first year in business, I would say. And so that's about just under 10% of your current subscriber base. So what have you been doing since then that you found has worked really well for growth?
Okay, so touristy has actually been word of mouth driven. At this point, I've been incredibly consistent. I haven't missed a single week in 4 years.
Wow.
I think that commitment has definitely built some sort of credibility within my community. Mm-hmm. I also make sure that in all of my personal social channels, there's a call to action button with the link to subscribe, obviously needs to be there. I've asked a lot of my close friends, you know, who are in college. I mean, at this point, it's a little broader than college students, but I would say early 2021, I'd ask a lot of close friends, I'd ask family to spread the word, but I would say largely we are word of mouth driven. That has been my largest source of growth. And I've not had any overnight growth. I mean, I've been consistent in terms of growth. As in, I, by the end of year one, I had 10,000. By the end of year two, I had like some 40. By the end, it's consistently added a 30 to 40% every single year up until now.
So there hasn't been like this, you know, you're trucking along and then all of a sudden there's this growth inflection point.
Yeah. It's not been like a straight, it's been kind of steady now for 4 years. And I have not missed a single newsletter issue.
So weekly newsletter issue every week for four. That's amazing. That's, you know, some people can't publish for 4 weeks straight, let alone 4 years. So that's really impressive. We just had Tarzan K on our podcast a few weeks ago, and she just had said, you know, I've been publishing for 7 years straight, and I've just kind of like these people with their, you know, consistent publishing that we've got to have them on the podcast more often to talk to us about it. Yeah. So you said it's mostly all word of mouth, but have you invested at all in any kind of paid strategies at all?
We haven't spent a dollar on paid ads.
Wow.
Zero.
Wow. So it's been all word of mouth, all organic.
All word of mouth, all organic. There was a time at the end of 2021 where I ran a college ambassador program. Mm. I basically put it on my newsletter that, hey, if anybody, you know, loves the newsletter, has been subscribed, wants to spread the word, please like email me back or whatever. I had, you know, had a lot of people apply, to be honest. I had a lot. I was quite surprised. So I do feel putting it out there within your own community is like one thing as any creator is that your users are your biggest marketers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just need motivation. Now, whether you do that like by free merch or, you know, just any sort of perks, I mean, that's really important to keep in mind. I had luck with like two, but I'd say that got me around 700 to 800, which is a lot of subscribers, but I wouldn't say it was significant. And I did it for like a month or two and then it was done.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Let's talk about the content that you actually create and publish every week for 4 years. You cover, you know, like you mentioned earlier, a pretty decent variety of topics in touristy. You said it's more broad appeal, not a specific industry that you're covering. So I'm curious how you go about sourcing all the content and then deciding what to include and what not to include.
Okay. So in general, I'm up to date with business news every day.
Okay.
I do not like to plan research all at once. So mentally, when I start writing, I already know what I'm writing about. Mm. Okay. That's number one. Obviously, before the newsletter goes out, which is every Tuesday, I edit it a lot. Like I have to go through it. If a bigger story comes up, I will include it in Tuesday. So I do always leave one or two articles on the morning of sending it. But, you know, in general, I feel like at this point, I've written so many newsletter issues that even just looking at the data, I know which newsletters get more engagement, more traction, more open rate. And so that's kind of given me a good idea of what my community enjoys.
It's important with those, taking care of those data points, looking at them and seeing what people are actually going to click on and open and read. So that makes sense.
Exactly.
So as the week goes, you saving articles or saving news stories, and then do you write them all the one day before you publish? Or is it something you're just kind of slowly putting together as the week goes on?
I slowly put it together, but I start on the weekend. So Touristy goes out every Tuesday at 8 a.m. EST.
Okay.
I start on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
Because it's important for me to get, because I only cover like 6 to 7 stories per issue, it's important for me to choose the ones that I find are most relevant to my community. And then I'll always leave like one or two articles for the morning off, just in case something happened the night before.
Yeah. I guess that's a challenge with writing a weekly newsletter on kind of current events and news and stuff like that, is that potentially by the time, you know, you actually go to publish on Tuesday morning, something that happened on Wednesday the week before might be old news and something more important or more relevant has come up. Yeah, that makes sense. Have you ever considered publishing more than weekly, more often?
So very few people know this, but Touristy was actually bi-weekly.
Ah.
So in 2020, it used to go out twice a week. But the thing is, it was going out twice a week for me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. Like, this is the complete reality. I used to have 5 email addresses of my own, 3 of my mom's, 2 of my dad's, just to make it seem like a big number. But it was just me plus 3 people, you know, in my home. Yeah. So it was taking me days to write a newsletter. You know, I hadn't quite found my voice yet. I had no users. So it just didn't make sense to put in that much work. So I just went weekly. Mm. It was getting too much. It was getting too much for me. My whole week was just going in content and I didn't have any growth at the time. But I did have it twice a week, if I remember, for at least 3 months.
Okay.
At least 3 months.
And that was right around the beginning.
Yeah. That was right around the beginning. Yeah, I was twice a week. I think I did Tuesday and Friday,
from what
I remember.
And you mentioned something about, you know, finding your voice. I think I had read an interview you did with another publication that you had said something about it being a little bit, you're really sure how to necessarily write in your own voice. And that took a little bit of time. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, about how that experience went to go from maybe writing something a little bit more formal to something more kind of casual, like the tone that you have now? What was that process like finding that?
Okay. So I just wanted to find something that was very authentic to me that other people enjoyed. And the thing is that this is just how I talk colloquially to my friends. I mean, all of us are online all the time. The way you talk with your friends, it's light, it's informal, you know. Also, the content that I'm covering can be dry and dense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
but the truth is, touristy is still giving you the facts. It's still educating you. Mm. It's just entertaining you at the same time. And anything that's my thoughts is in italics. So that makes it clear. I always have an our thought section in the end, which is obvious that it's me.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people who are subscribed to Touristy don't even know that it's me who runs it because I haven't really put my name there yet.
Right.
So I get a lot of responses saying like, we had no idea that you write Touristy. So I get that a lot. And then I think another way is that I love GIFs. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with memes and GIFs. I spend so much time. I would say I spend hours before every week finding the perfect meme, perfect GIF, like perfect photos. I'm obsessed. A huge part of Touristy is not just the jokes in the written, but also the graphics. I want to make it visually appealing.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can do with a single photo. There's a lot you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, what's he saying? A photo, you know, speaks 1,000 words, something along those lines. A GIF might be 1,000,000.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's one thing I did notice when I was, you know, prepping for this interview, going through Touristy. You do include a lot of imagery, a lot of memes and GIFs that are very relevant to the article. They add some, you know, humor, some levity to the article, which I think is, again, something that's kind of lacking in these more dry topics. So I could tell that you do put that effort in. Have you heard from readers, you know, just feedback that they enjoy the effort that you put in? Or is it just something that you're doing because you feel that you want to include that?
I started hearing that in 2020.
Ah.
That's when I really doubled down on it. In fact, if I go through I never had a single GIF in like 2020 or 2021. It used to be more of written words until I started getting feedback. I'd get so many emails. I'd get, you know, messages on my personal accounts. And I feel like once I found my tonality, I knew I had product market fit.
Mm.
And I doubled down on that tonality. See,
that's
once
smart.
I had that tone of voice, I knew that, okay, this is something, you know, kids my age are enjoying. And, you know, and I love what I do, Dylan. I mean, the truth is I love what I do. So I really just, you know, I don't do a half-hearted job on any issue, no matter how busy I am. And I try and find something that genuinely adds value to my reader and makes it fun.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's fun to do a job, quote unquote, that you actually enjoy doing, that you love doing. That's kind of really finding the sweet spot in life, I think. So you are doing Touristy. Now we haven't talked about this yet. Is this a side gig for you or is this your full-time focus?
Full-time. I don't have time to do anything else. I'm a solopreneur. I do not have time to do anything. We're word of mouth driven. We've been completely bootstrapped. So no, this is not my side. This is definitely my main.
Amazing. And so that leads us to, you know, the question of, well, how do you make a living doing this if this is your main thing? So let's start off with maybe the story of how you monetize, like how you earned your first dollars. And then we'll talk about maybe your revenue streams that you have right now.
Okay. So my first ad dollars.
We'll be right back to this conversation after a quick word from our sponsor.
Last year, we launched the most generous affiliate program in the newsletter space. Send just a handful of newsletters our way, and you could unlock tens of thousands of dollars every month. And now, we're turning up the heat. We're sending our top-earning affiliate partner, with a plus one, on a free, all-inclusive trip to Cancun. You can win! Just share SparkLoop with newsletter operators before April 30th. They get free access to the most popular newsletter recommendations network and unlock millions of dollars in easy extra revenue by recommending the world's best newsletters. You get a 30% commission. Win-win. It's that easy. See you on the beach.
And now back to the episode. Let's start off with maybe the story of how you monetize, like how you earned your first dollars. And then we'll talk about maybe your revenue streams that you have right now.
Okay. So my first ad dollars was an inbound request via Twitter around May 2021.
Okay.
So like almost a year after, at this point, I had like 18, 19,000 subscribers, if I remember clearly.
Okay.
Okay. Something like that. That was an inbound request via Twitter. Keep in mind, I started building on Twitter in 2020. Around October, by the end of 2020, I realized for what I do, it's kind of important to build in public and promote myself there. So that was important. I had some tweets go viral. That helped. Mm-hmm. One of my tweets that went viral is, well, mini viral, I wouldn't call it viral, but mini viral is my pinned tweet, which also kind of breaks down my journey.
Okay.
So yeah, the first one was inbound, and it was a significant amount, which also kind of showed me like the potential that Touristy had,
right?
Like at that point, monetization was not even a focus. It was just growth. And, you know, I didn't know much about newsletters as well. Just coming on Twitter, you know, reading articles, I was kind of getting a sense of newsletter, you know, world. But that was that. And then I did a fair amount of, I would say, affiliate marketing by the end of the year.
Okay.
But just for a short period, I'd say like 5 to 6 months. So I did a lot of affiliate marketing as well. So that was another source of revenue. But I would say the most amount of monetization or the main year of monetization, especially, and a little more consistently, has been last year onwards for me, which has been a mix of inbound and outbound. And I do feel fortunate enough that at this point, with the word of mouth and the scale, the inbound has been significant. So that's been good.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. But I mean, inbound has been good, because you need to learn how to sell. It's not like magically sponsors are going to line up. So I'm very aware of that. But, you know, I also do a fair amount of outbound. And that is my focus now, especially. And also, it's not like I just blast emails for just like an ad. You know, honestly, for me at this point, it's not about ad dollars. For me, if I see a company or a brand that can genuinely add value to my community, fits within the demographic, you know, I feel like regionally, location-wise, demographic, there's alignment, then I don't hesitate to reach out to them at all. I mean, I'm really comfortable shooting somebody an email. Sometimes it has worked out really well, and sometimes it hasn't. So I'd say it's a mix of inbound and outbound at this point. Yeah.
Okay. So when you first started, you had an inbound request. Now it's...
That was my very first. Yeah.
I'm curious, when you got that first inbound request, looking back, do you think the advertiser was like lowballing you in terms of price, or do you think it was a fair offer?
I think it was a fair offer.
Yeah, it was. Okay. And so...
It was a fair offer.
Well, that's good.
I have a good open rate. See, at this point, 1 year into it, I had no background in emails, but at this point, I kind of knew. I mean, I'm living behind a screen, so I'm reading enough to know that at my scale and size and open rate, what is okay, what is not okay. I kind of had a fair sense. And, you know, my goal was to get maximum traffic to my advertiser, and they actually advertised with us 2 more times.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Even some of the affiliate marketing I did turned into recurring advertisers, which I've been fortunate enough. So I make sure to really just give it my best, give them maximum traffic. I'm not too fussy. Like I work with the brands that, you know, I feel where there's mutual value for both my community and
Which is usually the best recipe for success when there's, you know, that alignment between your readers, the brand. You take extra time in crafting the copy. You recently posted on Twitter LinkedIn that you had an ad drive, I want to say 480 or 430 clicks or something along those lines. For a sponsor?
Yeah, I've had more than that.
Which, I mean...
Yeah, but you know, our open rate is good.
Yeah, which really... Do you mind sharing what your open rate, engagement rate is?
Yes. So one thing that has been most important to me has been the open rate. Like that is the most important. I mean, I would advise anybody who's even looking to monetize any platform, it's more about engagement than the count. I mean, you know, I got my first check when I was at 20,000 subscribers, and I didn't need 110 to... I had the open rate though, right? I still had the open rate. So I would advise anybody, it's really important to focus on engagement. And instead of trying to acquire new users, focus on who you have already. And my open rate is, even till date, averages 40%. I would say the minimum I've had is like 35. Mm-hmm. Maximum has gone 50, but I mean, 50 is quite high. That's rare. But 41, 42 consistently. And also making it weekly has been really good for the open rate, to be honest.
What else do you think plays a part in your open rate? Is it subject lines or just the content you've created in the past?
Well, I 100% go through all the past issues and see the open rates that were like insanely high.
Yeah.
And I look at the subject line for sure. I look at the content. I look at the subject line. I look at the... I mean, my time is kind of fixed. The time works. Tuesday, 8 a.m. EST. That's my standard. But subject line definitely matters.
Yeah. And have you played around with your send time as well? Because you seem to be pretty you know, focused in on that 8 a.m. Eastern time?
I can't do so much. I do one thing at a time.
Yeah, fair enough.
I keep it simple.
Well, let's talk about that, because you are the solo operator for the newsletter. So as the solo operator, what percentage of your time goes into general operations, like, you know, going through your engagement metrics and that sort of thing, soliciting feedback, creating, I guess, relationships with advertisers and, you know, pitching ad spots, and then crafting the newsletter? Like, what does your time allotment look like for the average week?
I think I've, at this point, 4 years into it, I have a good system. So because I went from twice a week to once a week, mm-hmm. and like I said, I only start writing on the weekend. Saturday or Sunday is when I really just start. But obviously, mentally, I already know if there's something from the previous week that I'm going to write about. I would say I spend the week on all of this, except content curation. And then I start writing, I'd say, majority Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's what it is.
Okay.
Tuesday is okay. Just kind of fine tuning everything. Tuesday is like the final 10%. But I would say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, a little bit of Saturday goes in content curation. But the second half of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday goes in that. And also I work all day. Like I have my phone on me all the time. So I mean, it's not like I have a set schedule or anything. I work for myself. I work when I want to. Some days I want to pull in all night. I work.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I don't have a schedule. You kind of learn on the job when, you know, you got to do it.
Yeah. You're your own boss, right? Yeah. So in terms of like finding sponsors and that sort of thing, how much of your time in the week does that usually take up dealing with advertisers?
See, like I said, because it's important for me to find alignment, mm-hmm. the research is a decent amount.
Yeah.
You know, so I do agree, because I'm not just randomly blasting people for ad dollars and just doing anything. I would say now it has been a little more of a focus now. I've been incredibly focused on growth and doing everything for growth in the past 2 to 3 years. So I would say 2 hours a day.
Okay.
2 to 3 hours a day.
Okay.
2 to 3 hours a day. When I'm focusing, I think if you're focused and you come across a good company and you do some research and you genuinely see alignment, I mean,
yeah.
Why not? It's important to personalize the email to show them why they'd want to advertise with you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's getting inbound and it's the same thing. I mean, there needs to be mutual value for both parties. So I do spend that time, mm-hmm. and I do care about my community, and I'm, you know, want to give them something they genuinely can benefit from. So, I mean, it does take a fair amount of time. I won't.
Like, yeah.
That's definitely true.
And I think it's worth investing the time, like you said. I wanted to ask you, I can ask you two versions of this question. One would be, what's the biggest mistake that you see newsletter operators making? Or I'd be curious to know actually what you think sort of maybe your biggest mistake you've made operating the newsletter is that you would, it would almost be your number one piece of advice of what not to do. You can answer either of those two questions or both if you want.
So, I don't know about mistakes, but the mistake that I see other people making is that they don't do enough to get it off the ground. Mm. Organic content is everything. You need to realize that your users will become your biggest marketers. I think a lot of people just think spending money is the answer to growth, when it's not. And especially in your early days. And for me at this point, early days is going 4 years into this. I don't know if it's early days, right? I'm not that I'm opposed to paid ads at all, but I'm just saying, I don't think I would have gotten here had I not focused on growing this organically. Whether that means repurposing content, whether that means finding discovery channels like LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, whether that means leveraging your social network, whether that means doing that scalable, whatever it takes, I think more people need to do what it takes to get it off the ground. And I think people need to have a long-term mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that important? Like, yeah. It's been 4 years of me doing this. I mean, God knows how many newsletter issues I've sent at this point. So consistency plus a long-term mindset, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. That's what you got to focus on. I'm going to stop looking at the scoreboard.
That's right. Newsletter is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a, you know, maybe some...
Die trying.
What's that?
I said, die trying.
Die trying. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly. It's a long-term play, right? Yeah. And I mean, you're proof of the success you can have when you don't just, you know, try to grow something and, you know, find success within the first 6 months or year. Cause had you done that, you might have quit within that time frame, right? But keeping a long-term mindset, saying, no, I'm just going to do this. I like doing it. I see the potential of it. I'm getting great feedback. I'm just going to keep going and see where it takes me. So really good proof of that. What would be, I guess I kind of asked you this already, but do you have a number one piece of advice for somebody who wants to start kind of a news-based newsletter, similar to, you know, Touristy, if they wanted to start growing and monetizing that?
I would say you firstly have to be really up to date with news. Don't think you're just going to read everything on the last day and just put it out there in general.
Yeah.
You have to assume today's user is smart and switched on. We're in the world of like digital media. Everybody knows everything. So you really need to, a newsletter especially works because you kind of sift through the chaos and the information overload and provide value directly in the inbox. So you kind of need to find your tone of voice and do something that's unique to you. I mean, there's so many news outlets out there. Why would you? I think if you do something that's unique to you, it works. I mean, you know, when I started, so many people told me this space is saturated, overcrowded. Right. And I mean, there's super low, if any, you know, barriers to entry to start a newsletter today.
Yeah.
There's so much out there. So if you are not unique and if you do not provide an authentic tone of voice, it's going to be extremely difficult. So I would say anybody doing news-based, you need to find your tonality. You need to know who your reader is and you need to love what you do. Otherwise, you're not going to stick with it. I mean, you need to be obsessed with doing this. It's not a side gig. I would not say it's a side gig.
If it is, it probably won't probably take off as well or as quickly because you need to, unless you're really lucky. Yeah, you need the focus and the time to really sink into it, which you've done really well. So what is next for Noor and Touristy in 2024?
You know, right now I'm just focused on unlocking growth even more. I feel like at this point, I'm at that point where we could have exponential growth within the year, the coming years, if I really double down on it. So, I mean, growth is 100%. That's a full-time job for me, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm at it everywhere, whatever I can do. But also something that's on my mind maybe would be like a podcast. I mean, it's been on my mind since a while.
Yeah.
There are so many creators out there that are crushing it. And just like what you do, it's amazing to just have a platform to connect with people and, you know, hear about their stories and their journeys. And it's amazing. You know, in fact, I watched some of your previous episodes and I loved what some of the people had to say. You know, I thought it, like, I learned so much and I feel like if somebody can even take away anything from this, like that would make me so happy and that motivates me to even do better. And so, I mean, maybe a podcast. That is on my mind.
Yeah, awesome.
When I say maybe, I'm leaning towards it. Because it'd be nice to
That's great.
Creators in this space. So many creators today.
Have you ever thought about doing an audio version of your newsletter?
No.
Not much interest in doing that?
No.
Fair enough. But
important to remember, I'm a solopreneur. Like, that's important to remember, so.
Yeah, that's fair. So it'd be more like a Noor and Friends take on, you know, the week in business kind of thing, maybe, or something along those lines that would complement with Touristy.
I did think in the past 2-3 months, except a podcast, the second thing that's been crossing my mind is to go twice a week again.
Okay.
Maybe. Why not? You know, once a week is good enough. It's great. But at this point, the community is significant enough. And I did run a survey recently. And I've been frequently asking my friends and, you know, within my network and people I engage with. And a lot of people have been open to the idea of it. And that is something that I could do, make it twice a week.
Yeah, that also kind of potentially can double your revenue earnings. Not that that's the sole reason you do it. But I mean, if the ad spots were there and the inventory was there and the demand was there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Exactly. Why not?
Well, Noor, it's been awesome having you on the podcast today. Can you share really quickly where people can find you online and where they can subscribe to Touristy?
Okay. So you can find me on touristy.substack.com. That's my newsletter. Just enter your email, you're subscribed. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, everything it takes to grow this newsletter. So
amazing.
And yeah, and the link to subscribe is in all of my social media channels. So you'll find it there.
Great. And we will link to all your social profiles as well in the show notes if people want to check those out there. Well, again, it's been great having you on, Noor. Thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about how you've grown your newsletter. And we wish you all the best in 2024.
Thank you so much, Dylan. Thank you. This was so fun.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Send and Grow podcast. If you like what you heard, here are three quick ways that you can show your support. Number one, leave us a 5-star rating and review in the podcast app of your choice. Number two, email or DM me with some feedback with your questions or with suggestions for future episodes. And finally, number three, share your favorite quote from the episode on social media and tag both me and our guest. All of the links for that are available in the show notes. And whatever option you choose, I am really grateful for your support. Thanks, and see you next week.